From time to time, I get ideas of books that I would like to write, and I think of titles, catchy titles. You know, maybe you're like this too. You think, oh, I should write a book about this kind of topic, and here's what I would call it, and you have some title in your mind. Of course, some of you might find that the furthest thing from your mind, and you would be horrified if someone called on you to try to write something. You know, pastors are working with words and thoughts and messages all the time, so this is something we toy with in our minds. And over the years, one of the books, one of the titles that I've thought of writing is something on the order of 12 Easy Steps to Destroy Your Life, you know, ways in which people self-destruct, you know, whether it's through infidelity in marriage, whether it's through picking a poor marriage partner and not finding a good choice, whether it's involvement in drugs and abuse of some sort, financial disasters. There's many different ways people can blow themselves up in life. And actually, that's sort of what this message is based on, is that concept of avoiding the major pitfalls and landmines in life. Only I chose to title it not quite as ominous as 12 Easy Steps to Destroy Your Life, but more positively, big-time mistakes. Mistakes are recoverable, hopefully. Not all of them, but many of them are. And so we're going to look at characters in the scriptures who made big mistakes, major life mistakes. I've often told the boys that you're going to make mistakes in life. The key is not making the kind of mistakes that wreck your life. And we're going to see people in the scriptures here who made big mistakes and consequences that followed them. And so the first one is in terms of rage. Rage being an expression of hatred, letting oneself explode in their actions against someone else. And our illustration for us is that of Cain in Genesis 4. The sad circumstance here is that he rises up and kills his sibling, his brother. In Genesis 4, starting at verse 1, it says, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry. Okay, hit the pause button on the DVD. Take a close look on the face of Cain and the scowl in the squinting eyes, the wrinkles in his face, the anger that is starting to consume him. And at this point, he is still capable of rational discussion of his anger. When he is in full-blown hate, he will be operating on emotions and no longer interested in discussion. So the Lord intervenes, and in verse 5, as we hit the resume, so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, and we don't know how much time passed between this discussion with the Lord and verse 8, but Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. So we see Cain determines that he is going to give full vent to his anger, and it turns into an emotional attack rage. One of the things I'd like for us to consider this morning is that rage or fury is probably most closely associated with the emotions of Satan. You know, in the scriptures, God is described as love. God's essential core nature is loving. Well, Satan, as the antithesis of God, as the enemy of God, would very accurately be described as embodiment of hate, the opposite of God. In the scriptures in the book of Revelation, it's described that when Satan was cast down to earth, when he was thrown out of heaven, it said he was thrown down and he was filled with fury, because his time was short. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, there's a description of Satan that he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for people to consume, looking for people to devour. And therefore, Christians are to resist him, standing firm in the faith. These kind of descriptions show us that Satan's core emotion is one of anger boiling over, of a hatred, of a vehement dislike. And he would love nothing more than to destroy the creatures God has made. When a person goes from a state of anger to a state of hate and rage and fury, they're really connecting with the feeling of Satan. They're getting most emotionally apart from God and closer to the Antichrist. So we need to understand that, you know, these giving vent to our anger and just losing it is not just a thing that everyone does. It's not just something that is permissible, that the society says it's okay, but it's actually a spiritual issue. It's a problem of losing touch with God, as Cain did. You know, there's a couple of interesting things here in this account. In verse 5 and 6, there was a disconnect that had happened between Cain and God. In verse 5 and 6, there was a problem there. First, the problem was not between Cain and Abel, the brothers. The first initial problem was between God and Cain. Cain had done something that was not seen as approved by God. And we don't know exactly what was deficient in his offering, but the Lord showed him that it was not acceptable. So before Cain ever rose up and killed his brother, he had a problem with God. And we find this to be very true. Individuals who give vent to their anger and their wrath really have a spiritual issue. Oftentimes, they are not at peace with the Lord. Their anger is meted out at others and is taken out on others, but there's a spiritual disconnect and a spiritual need that's not resolved there. So you need to be observant of this, whether there are anger management issues in your own life or whether you see this in someone else. There is a broken relationship with God at work there too. And then you notice in verse 7, the Lord calls on Cain to address his own anger, to take charge of it, as it were. This is why I said when you're angry, you can still be talked to, but rage can have no conversation. Rage is when the switch is turned on full and the horror and the action is virtually unstoppable. The Lord had talked to Cain and told him, almost like that description in 1 Peter 5, that sin is crouching at your door, almost like 1 Peter 5 that says Satan roars around like a lion looking to devour someone. And he says here, it desires to have you, but you must master it. I believe in all cases where an individual loses it, flies off the handle, goes berserk, whatever, they have told themselves at some point, I have permission to do this. Everyone decides whether or not they have freedom to unleash their fury and their wrath. And you know that in times in your life that you have gone on a tirade, something in your mind has made the decision, I'm going to do this, as though I almost have a right to do this. And our society tends to think that way and support that kind of thinking, that if someone irks you enough, someone angers you enough, you have the right to be able to let them have it or to get your revenge and get retaliation. That is not the Christian mind. That's the mind of the secular world. That's the mind of hatred, closer to the mind of Satan than it is to the mind of Christ. One other thing, too. Anger can be righteous. Indignation against sin can be appropriate. Jesus demonstrated that in the temple courtyard when he overturned the tables and screamed at them, "You have turned my Father's house into a market." Even though we can't do so completely without sin, there are things that disrupt us and get us upset because they are unjust. We can have anger over someone's being abused or mistreated, someone's being neglected or forgotten. This might upset us and get us mad. But hate and rage and fury does not have love. It always stems from sin. So now we think about the practical implications of this on Super Bowl Sunday. The timing, once again, is perfect. And I didn't plan it this way. And I'm not out today to demonize football or men. But we do have a great illustration in our society of rage and how it's inappropriate. A couple of studies. Football upsets, that is, when there is an unexpected defeat, an upset, increased domestic violence. According to this study from the University of California in San Diego, they looked at police reports of family violence on Sundays during the professional football season. They looked at what happened when a home team suffered an upset, which they defined as losses in games that the home team had been predicted to win by more than 3 points. Upset losses by the home team were associated with higher rates of domestic violence. They typically led to an 8% increase in police reports of at-home incidents where a man attacked a female partner. Upset losses in games involving a traditional rival had an even bigger effect on the rate of partner violence. Previous research documented a rise in domestic violence associated with other external factors, such as hot weather or holidays. The new paper also found that major holidays are associated with spikes in reported domestic violence incidents. New Year's Eve, Memorial Day, 4th of July, and one of the biggest spikes in domestic violence, Thanksgiving, when the rate rose typically 22% higher. I would find it interesting to see if there was a connection with football with New Year's Eve and Thanksgiving as well. Another interesting insight is that the research says that there's compelling evidence that at least some portion of family violence arises through a breakdown of control rather than as behavior driven by rational choice. In other words, the person gets to the point that their emotions start running away and they let them go. I would also find it interesting to see if there would be a correlation between sports betting and the violence associated with sporting games. My mind would think that many of those that are engaging in the higher level of violence and domestic violence might also have money riding on these games, and that might contribute to the lashing out and to the loss of control. I'd like to see a study done on that. What this is doing is it's confirming that we have a real issue in our society when it comes to anger, when it comes to rage. And it manifests itself from things such as reactions to football games and sporting events to what we have termed road rage, right? People are sensing that they have the freedom just to expel whatever feelings and let go whatever reactions they feel toward things. And this is causing a lot of pain and hardship. Now, a person might go long for any period of time and get away with it, until the one event that is catastrophic, like in the case of Cain. Was this the first time that Cain had ever exploded in anger? Was this the first time that he would have ever lost it? You have to wonder about that. Maybe he had a pattern. Maybe he had a habit of expressing his anger and emotionally losing it. We don't know. But we do know that that tends to be a pattern in some people's lives. What is to be the Christian demeanor? What is to be our spiritual mindset? Let's take a look at some scriptures. First one I'd like to take you to is in the book of James. James chapter 1. This is on page 1881. Page 1881, James 1. I'll share with you a little secret about football and sports and watching them. I used to watch a lot more football and basketball. And I used to find myself getting upset. I'd be into it, who I wanted to win, things like that, and I'd find myself getting highly emotional over what was happening in the game. And I never got to the point of having a tirade or anything like that if a team lost, but I started to wonder, why is this getting to me so much? It's just a stupid game. And then I started to observe other people, and I'd go to parties, and I'd watch people, the way they were acting. And either they were in this really euphoric state and giddy, sometimes very foolish about it, and other times they were just pissed. They were just angry and really foul-tempered. And I thought, why? And after a while, I got tired of that. And I decided, you know what? As a Christian, why should I have my demeanor and my spirit affected by something like this? And I decided, I'm just not going to watch this stuff much anymore. It's just not going to be that important to me. It's not worth having my moods affected by this. Now, I'm going to watch the game today for one reason. The commercial from Focus on the Family. With Tim Tebow, pro-life. I want to see that. And that's my main motivation for watching the game today. Because I hope it's a wonderful blessing and a powerful message. But I would encourage you to analyze yourself and say, what's affecting my moods? And why do I get all agitated if I'm participating in some activity or I'm watching something that's getting me all bent out of shape, or if it's causing me undue joy and ecstasy for something that's so marginal? We need to ask ourselves these kind of questions. What are we doing that's influencing our spirit and kind of giving it unrealistic highs or really nasty lows? So in the book of James, chapter 1, it says, verse 19, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Talk about the evil that is so prevalent with all the sports betting and the domestic violence and everything associated with these kind of events. And that's just one area in our society. Someone after the first service, or no, last night after the worship service came up to me and they said, thank you, Pastor, for this message, because we have somebody at work about 30 years old and this guy just explodes on people. And they're actually afraid of this person because of that volatile anger and the ability to suddenly, like a switch being flipped, for this person to go off on people. There was a young man in the congregation up in Canada, in Devon, Alberta. There was a young man whose family had an oil trucking business. And this young guy was in his 20s, early 20s, and he had an extremely intense personality. And he could really get angry quick. And he felt almost as though it was his right to be angry, and he would use it to intimidate people. He was so able to lose it and get angry and furious that his mother one time confided with me, I'm afraid he could kill somebody. After Connie and I left Canada and came down here, we had been down here about 12 years or so. We were invited to go back for a reunion, a visit. And so we returned. One of the families that we visited with was this particular family. And I didn't anticipate necessarily seeing this son. But it so happened that while we were at the house visiting, he drove into the driveway. And I went out and greeted him and asked him how he was doing. And one of the first things he said to me was, I'm a lot different man now than I was when you were here. I said, well, why don't you explain? He said, at the time when we left, he was dating a very demure, very wallflowerish kind of girl, extremely shy, almost unable to talk in public, that introverted, and he was completely dominant in the relationship. Really just overwhelmed with his personality, her freedom to feel at ease and all. And they were dating, and he said that after I had left, after a certain amount of time, he had some struggles with her in their relationship, and one time he came home and walked in and found her in bed with another man. And he said at that moment, he had to decide whether he was going to kill him or not. And whatever reason, he was restrained from it, and he didn't. But that really started to make him question himself, because she said it was his anger. And so he started to do a self-assessment in his life and try to find out what, why, how come he had this kind of rage. And that led to a huge change and transformation in his life. And I, for one, am very grateful to the Lord that he didn't become another statistic by losing it and killing somebody. We have to decide that we're going to have the spirit of Christ and not have the spirit of the culture and society. And that's a decision in our minds that says we do not give ourselves permission to go off in a tirade, to go off in a rage. Let's take a look at another scripture. This one is from... Take a look at this one first. In Galatians, page 1815. excuse me, Galatians, page 1815. Chapter 5, verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. Notice, hatred, discord and jealousy. And then we see it, fits of rage. Everyone can be tempted to fits of rage and hatred. But notice in verse 22, the demeanor of the Christian. The fruit of the Spirit, that is, of the person who has been born again in Christ, the dominant mindset and spiritual characteristics in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, it's like James says, being slow to speak and slow to anger. Let's look at one more passage, Philippians chapter 4. This is on page 1830. Philippians 4, page 1830. We're going to go to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Gentleness. I guess it's not considered real manly to be gentle, is it? But this gentleness is a mindset that says, look, I can be a strong person, but I choose not to use it in wicked, nasty ways. It has nothing to do with being feminine. Gentleness is knowing how to use power and how to use it for people's benefit instead of your own advantage. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything, even the score of a football game. What influences us? What drives us to get angry? What puts us in a position that we at times will lose it or at times want to give vent to our rage? We have to consider these things. We have to think about these things. If you have found that you have a habit of losing it, if you at times fly off the handle and this happens on a pretty regular basis, I would encourage you to conduct a self-assessment. I would ask that you would even consider seeking counseling for this. Because our society is saying that it's okay to be in a rage. And God's word is teaching us that it's not okay. That there is a spiritual disconnect with God when that happens. And that we are to be filled with the Spirit of Christ and the peace of Christ. It's a big time mistake to go into a rage. And God willing, this will never happen, that someone in our community here will ever do something that will be irreversible, something as horrible as murder or maiming somebody. God willing, we'll be filled with the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of gentleness and peace. Amen.